The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth in the world's greatest salmon fishery through investments in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
This is KDLG's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report, and I'm Molly Dishner. It's July 1, and we're inching toward bigger catches.
But hopefully by the 4th of July, we'll be eyeball deep in fish.
That's drifter Lang Solberg. Coming up tonight, analysis from Port Muller's Scott Rayburn, a conversation with Fish and Game's Jeff Regnert, and we hear from you. We're still trying to figure out where the fish are and when they're going to show up in each of the five fishing districts. Igigik drifters and set netters out tomorrow for one opener. Ugashik drift fleet, an opener tomorrow. Nugashik drifters have an opening at 2 a.m. tonight and another tomorrow afternoon, and set netters are extended until 8:30 p.m. tomorrow. Knack-knack Queedjack, back to waiting. First, let's look at the data. Port Muller saw an uptick in catches yesterday, with a daily replacement index of 60 following Monday's 28. Today was back down to 39, part of what project manager Matt Namath calls a seesaw pattern out there. More analysis of the Port Muller numbers, and more on today's catches later in the show. The total haul in Bristol Bay yesterday was about 800,000 fish, bringing the season total to about 3.4 million. Ugashik fishermen caught 104,000 sockeye, season total 393,000. Igigik's catch was 262,000 for a total 1.4 million, and 214,000 fish caught in Knack-Knack Queedjack for a total 427,000. Yesterday's Nooshigak catch was about 218,000 sockeye, bringing the total to a little more than 1 million fish, and about 5,000 caught in Togiak for a total 13,000. How many sockeye per delivery? Ugashik 1,022, Igigik 616, Knack-Knack Queedjack 338, Nooshigak 305, Togiak 51. On to the escapement counts. At Ugashik, 19,000 fish counted yesterday, 106,000 so far this season. Igigik, 28,000 counted yesterday, 471,000 season total. Yesterday's Queedjack count was 29,000 for a season total of 138,000. The Knack-Knack count was 24,000, bringing the season total there to 239,000. 3,000 kings swam past the Nooshigak sonar yesterday, bringing the total to 70,000. 22,000 sockeye were counted at the sonar, season total 322,000. 55,000 reds were counted by the Wood River Tower, with another 14,500 as of 6 a.m. this morning. The season total there is about 460,000. And the Agushik is the only West Side River that showed an increase in escapement yesterday, with 12,500 reds passing the tower and another 3,500 passed the tower this morning. And the boat count. Igigik, 459 permits on 375 boats. That'll go up after the wait to 466 permits on 380 boats. Knack-Knack Queedjack, 629 permits on 532 boats. That's going up to 635 permits, 536 boats. Nooshigak, 437 permits on 365 boats. Folks are leaving there. That'll go down to 431 permits, 360 boats in 48 hours. Ugashik, 116 permits on 87 boats, more in 48 hours, up to 133 permits on 102 boats. And Togiak, 42 permits, 42 boats. If you have fish news, tips, ideas, or feedback, send it to me at fish@kdlg.org or call us here at the station anytime.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Crawley, fueling Alaska for more than 60 years with a full range of residential, commercial, aviation, and marine fuel products, and supporting local fisheries offshore with Bristol Bay Floater Fueling Services. More information at CrawleyFuels.com.
The Port Mueller Test Fishery issued an interpretation of catches through June 30th today. Earlier, I asked analyst Scott Rayborn to help me break it down.
Yes, we're having a hard time deciphering what's going on at Port Mueller this year. The catches have been sporadic across stations, and the slow increase in catch and escape and inshore compounds that problem. But we felt like we needed to say something deep about the data thus far. It seems like we can say with some certainty what's going to happen between now and July 7th. What's going to happen for the entire season, it's hard to tell, because that requires us to know what's going to happen from here on out at Port Mueller. And given its erratic behavior, we just don't feel comfortable estimating that at this time.
All right, that makes sense. And do you know when you're going to have that comparison to last year?
In the interpretation we just released, I added the cumulative replacement index as compared to 2011 through 2014. And then I added the traditional cumulative index going back to 1990, I believe, for people that like to use that information. So the way I interpret Port Mueller this year is that the run is, if it's on time, it's going to be a little light relative to the preseason forecast. If it's late, several days late, then we have a chance at it coming in, you know, rather strong. But we need to see some strong catches at Port Mueller over the next several days. And I got a call from the boat today, and stations were strong at 10 and 8, but they really dropped off to almost nothing at station 6. And I haven't heard about 4 and 2 yet. So I think their daily replacement index for today is going to be in the 40s, which shows signs of dropping off from yesterday. And that puts the average peak at Port Mueller at about on time. But even though Port Mueller is on time, doesn't mean inshore is going to be on time. Inshore can be a day or two late, even when Port Mueller is on time. That seems to be the relationship. So it's still early to tell.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right.
Alaska's Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott, Fish and Game Commissioner Sam Cotton, and Commercial Fisheries Director Jeff Regnart have been touring Bristol Bay this week. Regnart's first full-time job was manager of the Naknek Quedrac District way back when. When I spoke with him earlier today, I asked for his thoughts on how this run is shaping up.
I think that, you know, typically the bay, could there be a wave of fish coming? Sure, and we've seen that happen where more than one or two districts all hit at once, and that could occur. There are fish out there. They are coming. There isn't an indice out there from a false pass fishery indicator or the Port Mueller genetics or the Port Mueller indices. None of that tells us that there aren't fish there, and fish there in greater numbers than what we've seen to date. I think what we're experiencing is a run timing that's either on time or maybe a little late, one or two days. We've gotten used to it being early, maybe in fact days and days earlier than average. And so that's in the back of everybody's minds. And so you're sitting here on the end of June wondering where all the fish are, where in a lot of years, in fact the majority of the years, we never had significant catches other than maybe Igigik up to this point. So I don't think there's anything to be concerned with. I think some of the realities of this year is the fish will be smaller than average. That's a reality across the state, maybe 20% by age smaller. I don't think escapement is going to be an issue for us, in part because of the exploitation being lower, because they just can't get a handle on these small fish. But I think overall there'll be quite a few fish for people to work through. Processors should be able to get most of what they came here to wanting based on the forecast. And we'll all be a lot smarter in about 2 weeks.
Regnart says the run might not be as big as projected.
Right now, the feel is that it could come in a little lighter than forecast. You know, we don't make in-season adjustments because if we did, we'd probably be changing the number every couple of days, and that's not fair to the industry. I think that there are indicators that, you know, some of the things, we know they're going to be smaller, and so the overall poundage coming out of the bay, even if it came in at forecasted numbers, will be less. So there'll be less pounds in the bay than there would have been based on the original forecast just because of the size difference. Beyond that, you know, there's still time for Quedrac to be as big as it is, for the wood forecast to come in. So I wouldn't want to say that those aren't going to happen. it has the feeling of being potentially slightly smaller than forecast. That's there just based on history of a run being, if it's that large, when it needs to start on an, even on average run timing, and the strength in which we would assume it to appear in, it's a little lacking in that department. So, you know, slightly less than forecast and definitely smaller at size would be my, I guess, my two judgments at this point.
This is the Bristol Bay Waiting for the Fish Report. Back in a moment.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by Naknek Family Fisheries, 246-FISH, or on the web at naknekfish.com.
So that's the word from folks watching the run, but we were curious what it looks like out on the fishing grounds, too. On the west side, Combine set netter Greg Marksmiller says it's been quiet. He thinks things might pick up by the 4th of July.
You know, it's pretty slow. So, but, I mean, we didn't catch kings yesterday or last night, so, you know, that's good. And we're catching mostly sockeye, so, you know, that's a good sign.
Most of those kings were saved as home pack. Marksmiller says he's enjoyed gorgeous weather and time to stare at the moon along with the kings.
We picked up something out of the cabin. And it was just like, oh, man, butter. I mean, it's delicious. I mean, all the fish here is delicious, but to be able to eat king like that was just really cool.
In Naknek, drifter Lang Solberg says fishing has been interesting.
Travis switched us to the night tide last night, which was fun. Seemed like there was a little bit of fish in the district on the night tide, but all in all, it's been a pretty slow build, and now it's July 1st, and we're tightening a couple of belts and putting some more food on the boat and still waiting for the wall of fish. So,
John Christensen is one of a handful of Port Hyden fishermen who are up fishing in the bay right now.
I'm down in Ugashik right now. The fishing's been pretty good. It's slow to start, but sitting around waiting to fish like we did last year.
Christensen says the fish started out small but have been getting bigger. He also expects fishing to pick up toward July 3rd or 4th. Over in Igigik, skipper Louis Flora on the fishing vessel Eagle Claw says they've just been chipping away at a slow season so far. I caught up with him a couple minutes before he had headed out for today's opener.
We're seeing a few more jumpers, you know, in close to the beach on the north side. So we're optimistic at this point, but we'll see how it goes. A lot of hungry fishermen out there.
Stay with me. I asked Fishing Game Igigik and Ugashik manager Paul Solomon about those jumpers Louie was seeing this morning.
Yeah, we had an indication yesterday of something outside the district and pushing in on the ebb portion of the tide, which is usually when we see large movement. Also, I extended the opener yesterday for 3 hours to kind of take a bite out of the front end of whatever was there and then to allow some of it to pass through. And we ended up with a reasonable number of fish upriver. We harvested some on the front end, and there was another number of fish that were still in the district this morning for when the opener occurred. So in terms of balancing some escapement out of a catch and harvest out of a push, I think we did pretty well. I don't know what the number is yet because it hasn't got to the tower, but indications are it's pretty decent. You know, not huge, but moderate size.
We just got that most recent stock composition summary from Port Moeller. What do you think that means for your district?
Well, Igigik has been the strongest genetic signal all year, and what I'm seeing from that is that it's pretty widely distributed. I don't know what to take beyond that at this point. It seems to be everywhere, but so does the wood and so does the Kwijak. So I wouldn't say that I can draw much out of it at this point, except that it's fairly widely distributed in the catches.
How are things looking for fishing opportunity here in the next couple of days?
Well, I'm going to allow tonight, sort of like I did last night, I'm going to leave the night tide alone, and if we get some escapement off it and some fish remain in the district in the morning, then that might be a pattern that we can use the next couple of days. I would like to take some fish out of this group, and this is kind of the traditional middle of the run. So we did get a little shot up river yesterday. I'm pretty happy with it. I'd like to take a little more out of this group, and then we're on day by day, tide by tide, as we always are. And depending on how that goes, we'll adjust in the following days. So.
Sounds good. And how about for you Ugashik fishermen?
That one also seems to be doing pretty well. The volume's not huge, but it's enough to keep the guys who are there at least on an every other day schedule for now. We've got some passage up river. We've got some good numbers at the tower. There's still some fish en route from the lower district. So as that develops, then we'll adjust the fishing schedule there. We've got an opener tomorrow, I think, for drift only. And some of that is to balance allocation, and some of that is to allow some more fish to pass up river. So, and depending on how that turns out, we'll move to the following days.
Sounds good. All right, thanks for the update.
You're welcome.
Back in a moment. Bristol Bay processor North Pacific is purchasing Inlet Fish, which operates in Kenai and Kasilof. Rasha McChesney covers fisheries for the Kenai Peninsula's daily paper, The Peninsula Clarion, and she updated me on the sale earlier. We heard today that North Pacific was buying Inlet Fish. What do you know about that?
So it looks like Vince Goddard, who is the founder and owner of Inlet Fish, has actually been looking for somebody to take over operations of his Kenai and Kasilof plants for some time now. He told me that he's been looking to retire, although he is going to stay on with the company for the next couple of years and sort of ease them through that transition. But he had some sort of key things that he was looking for in a company that kind of landed him into, like, North Pacific Seafoods territory, and that's how he ended up with that merger. But I guess he's been looking to sell for a while.
Any word on what immediate changes there might be?
So John said that they weren't planning on expanding any of the operations that Inlet Fish Producers is currently doing. So mainly Inlet Fish Producers focuses on Cook Inlet and primarily the Drift fleet and then the Prince William Sound, and they buy from the same fleet there. And he said that neither company seemed like they wanted to expand their footprint thus far.
And do you know what the price of that sale was?
So according to the Japanese Nikkei Index, the sale ended up being about $8 million. And Marubeni, which is the company that owns North Pacific Seafoods, thinks that that sale is going to end up boosting their salmon sales worldwide from about $203 million to just over $227 million a year.
Do you know when the sale will close?
No word on that yet.
Thanks so much for the update, Rasha.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
After we spoke, McChesney told me that North Pacific CEO John Garner told her the price given by Nikkei wasn't correct but didn't have a new figure for her. In other fisheries news, the Associated Press reported this spring about slaves used in Southeast Asian fisheries. Well, today there was a little happier news on that front, with a story about one man who left Myanmar in 1993 and, just recently, finally made it home. The AP reports that the Indonesian government has rescued and repatriated about 800 slaves. Closer to home, the Bristol Bay Bering Sea Registration Area opened today for commercial scallop fishing with a guideline harvest level of 7,500 pounds of shucked meat. The fishery closes when either that limit is met or the bycatch limits on tanner and king crab are met. In Seward, researchers have found that ocean acidification is likely not good news for shellfish hatcheries. The University of Alaska Fairbanks Aleutic Pride Shellfish and the Aleutic Pride Shellfish Hatchery are working with the National Marine Fisheries Service on a study that looks at how changing ocean chemistry affects the growth of oysters, clams, scallops, and other shellfish larvae or seed. The window for growing those could shrink or disappear if water gets more acidic, the researchers are finding. And finally tonight, a halibut tender is being put to use as a ferry out in the Pribilofs. KMXT's Jay Barrett reports that the Aleutian Pribilof Island Community Development Association, a CDQ group, is repurposing a halibut tender as a ferry between St. George and St. Paul, two islands that are about 40 miles apart. APICTA's CEO, Larry Cotter, says the project has been in the works for some time, but finding the right vessel was an issue. When one of APICTA's own boats, the fishing vessel Atka Pride, was about to go up for sale, they decided to put it to work instead.
Given the fact that we had the vessel, and given the fact that the situation in the community is pretty darn desperate, without a functioning harbor, they're having to fly all of their food into the community, and you know, putting the vessel to work just made a lot of sense.
St. George doesn't have a harbor, and flights into the small airport come just once a week. The 53-foot boat is already being used as a ferry, with service planned through the end of August. That's it for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. The show airs nightly on 6:70 a.m. at 6:30 p.m., with an early weekend show at 1:30 p.m. You can catch the replay at 10 and 2 if you're up, or find it online. Feedback? fish@kdlg.org. I'm your host, Molly Dishner. Dave Benninger produces the show. Good night.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by AIFMA, the Alaska Independent Fishermen's Marketing Association, representing fishermen since 1966. More information at AIFMA.org.